Reading from Psalm 1 on the Church Bibles, it's page 374. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But those whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
Well, good day, everyone. I'm Sam, if we haven't met before, and we probably won't. This is my last Sunday here, so I'm sorry if I don't get to meet you or speak after this. Can I just say, before I start, thanks to anyone that's supported Lucy and I while we've done our training here at Southern Cross our ministry traineeships. Thanks if you've been a financial supporter or a prayer or whatever else, just by loving us. Thanks for being such a good church community. We're very sad to be leaving this week coming, but we're so thankful to have been part of Southern Cross here with all of you guys, and we're going to miss everyone here. Just wanted to say that before we start. Yeah, really love you all. This morning we're getting into the beginning of the book of Psalms. We're going to do five talks. Our preachers will do five talks on the book of Psalms, five different psalms. We'll be unpacked on the theme of the wise, blessed and joyful life. Now, Psalms is this collection of songs that God's people have sung through the ages, songs that have reminded them of the character of God, songs that speak of how God has acted over history and during particular historical events, songs that have expressed the deep longing and sorrow and joy and despair and hope of God's people over the centuries. And while they are a collection of songs from another culture in another age, sung in another language, with played on other instruments in another style of music, they're our psalms too. Without having to take up Hebrew music lessons, does anyone teach Hebrew music? Without being part of an ancient Hebrew culture, these songs are able to hit home to us as well. So today we'll aim to see just how that can be as we start in the first book of Psalms, Psalm 1. How about we ask God to be at work in us as we open this psalm together. Please pray with me now. Our Father, we praise you for your word. It is timeless and yet accessible to us now. It's unchanging and yet powerful to change us. It is a sword and yet a song. Father, we ask that you'd help us to delight in it now, that you would put it to work in our lives today and help us to become people more like your Son, Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen. Well, the new year is almost here. I think I passed it coming through the foyer. And something mildly stimulating in 2019 is the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. July 20, 1969 marks the date when the Apollo 11 mission reached its objective and Neil Armstrong became the first man to set foot on the moon. It's nice to see someone doing something so well. And that's the sense I get when I see the footage of the moon landing. Who knows how much knowledge they had to acquire, what kind of skills you pick up as an astronaut, what kind of training you have to endure. But there's Neil Armstrong, you can watch the footage on YouTube, planting the flag, bouncing around, and there's celebration in the Houston control room, and the happy face of Sam Neill at the dish in Parks. Thanks, Arcus. As we open up Psalm 1, we see two versions of life. And one version is like the Apollo 11 mission. If you saw this life as it was played out, you'd be saying, that went really well. The psalm writer celebrates this version of life, calling it blessed. But the other kind of life in Psalm 1, it comes to a tragic end. Apparently over in Florida in the US, people who live on the beaches, they're often finding pieces of failed spacecraft washing up on the beaches. This is the kind of comparison the writer of Psalm 1 is making. One version makes its way to the moon and the other washes up in pieces on the beach. We've got two opposite versions of life here. And in verse 6, they're summarised as the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. It's pretty black and white. Now you either take the path of righteousness or the path of wickedness. We're not given any other options. There's no way of the pretty good bloke. If you're not a righteous person, then you're wicked. And if you're not wicked, then you're the blessed man here in Psalm 1. So we're one psalm into a book of 150 psalms, and I'm not sure if I want to keep reading. Which one am I? Am I on the path of the wicked or the way of the righteous? I don't know if I want to find out. What about you? Would you say you're on the path of the righteous or the path of the wicked? Well, let's read from the top of the psalm now, and we'll see what the life of the righteous person looks like. What does it look like to take the way of the righteous? Verse 1 starts with this phrase, blessed or blessed is the one. Blessed is the one. Where's this blessing coming from? How do we become blessed? Well, notice the psalm writer, he starts by lyricizing in these three funny verses what the blessed man doesn't do. He does not walk. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. You get this picture here of someone whose every move is aimed toward the wrong thing. Whether he's walking, standing, or sitting, he's doing the wrong thing. He's walking on the wrong path, standing on the wrong ground, and sitting with the wrong crowd. And in the days when this psalm was sung, they would have been familiar with the instruction from God in Deuteronomy 6 that said that they were to let their every movement be aimed at loving God, whether they were walking, standing, or sitting. They were told, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments are to be written on your hearts. Then they were told to talk about his commandments as they sat at home and walked on the roads, as they laid down and got up. So their walking and sitting, their lying down and standing up was all to be intended towards loving God. But in contrast here, the writer of Psalm 1 gives us a picture here of the kind of person the righteous person is not to be. He's not to walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. Rather, in verse 2, he shows us the blessed person will have God's commands written on his heart. The blessed person is someone who delights, whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. In other words, when he sits at home, when he walks on the road, when he lies down and gets up. So here's a guy who takes God's commands seriously. His every move is aimed at loving God, and he stays connected to God. Is my brother here this morning? No, I can tell this story. I remember when I was in high school, my brother got a mobile phone off one of his mates. Mum and Dad probably wouldn't let him have one. It might have been maybe one of those Nokias with the game Snake on it. But from the day he got this phone, we never saw him again. He used to call Laura all the time. Every opportunity he had, he'd be outside far enough away that we couldn't hear his schmaltzy whispers. And he used to drive Dad mad. Anyone know where Brad's gone? And he wasn't playing Snake, was he? That was the thing that bothered me. But the guy in this psalm is like this. He's always connected. His delight is invested in this connection. Or like Neil Armstrong, he makes sure he's always got Houston on the line. He radios in, listens carefully to their instructions, because this is where his life is invested. He stays connected. Well, the blessed man is a connected man. He's always in God's word. He's always listening to it and thinking about it. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, the funny thing here about the blessed guy is that being blessed isn't actually what he aims at. See, he delights in something more than blessedness. He delights in the law of the Lord. And yet he is blessed. Why is that? Because true blessedness is just a byproduct of being connected to and delighting in God. He doesn't have to chase happiness because knowing God is something so much better. And what follows is this image the psalm writer gives us of a tree. It's a simile. He says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Notice first that he's like a tree planted. He's both reliant on God, his planter, and he's well cared for. He's irrigated, standing by the streams of God's word. And being rooted there, he's able to draw up plenty to produce fruit. Next, we're told his leaf does not wither. The seasons might change around him. It gets hot and windy, but he's not moved by his circumstances. He's unchanging. He could be impacted by the world around him and all that it has to say. But instead, he sends his roots deeper into God's word and his leaf does not wither. Rather, he prospers. Well, how are you going at sending your roots into God's word? Are you delighting in it? Where are you invested? What are you delighting in? Are you staying connected to God? The way of the righteous is to be connected with God and rooted in his word. And blessing is a byproduct of this. Now, we read in verse 1 three things that the blessed person does not do. He doesn't walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take. He doesn't sit with mockers. And while this is a description of what not to do, it also shows us what the way of the wicked looks like. What the way of the wicked looks like is to walk and stand and sit in offense to the law of the Lord, to be a law unto yourself, to do your walking and standing and sitting without God in your life, without listening to his instruction. There's this story about Muhammad Ali on an airplane. I don't know if it's true or not, but apparently this flight Muhammad Ali was on, it was getting ready to land, and a voice comes over the speaker giving instructions to the passengers and air hostesses. It's time to put your seatbelts on, we're about to touch down. Of course, Ali ignores the instruction and leaves his seatbelt dangling next to him and draws the attention of a hostess who says to him, sir, you're going to have to put your seatbelt on, we're about to land. In classic Muhammad Ali wisdom, he replies, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And the hostess replies, Superman don't need no airplane. Like Muhammad Ali, we all want to live on our own terms. But the heart of the issue is an attitude that says, my way is best. Maybe even I am the greatest. We might not think that. We might not think we're Superman. But the thought of obeying someone, it doesn't really get us up in the morning, does it? We're a law unto ourselves. Another expression of this is the increasingly popular phrase, you do you. It feels so nice when people have said it to me. Sam, you do you. Be your own man. But the funny thing is that Lucy's never said to me, Sam, you don't give a lot of attention to the dishes, do you? You do you. No one ever says to you when you're having a whinge about someone else, yeah, you do you. Have your whinge. We like to think that we can all live on our own terms. But that's the kind of life that puts too much stock in our circumstances. Circumstances that change. It's a life that floats about from one desire to another. It's the kind of life that says, I don't need God because I'm delighted by something else. I'm a law unto myself. Well, the way of the wicked is to have no interest in God. No interest in the one who provides. No interest in the one who instructs us. Well, we come to our last point. And the psalm only gives us two options here. There's the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. Where would you say you are at the moment? I want to suggest that this psalm isn't just a poem about who's naughty and nice. We've had plenty of that at the Lismore Square over the past month. And something Santa doesn't get is that actually everyone walks the way of the wicked. And verses 4 to 6 say, there's an end coming for the wicked. The wicked are like chaff that the wind blows away. You can't get much different, much of an opposite between chaff and this tree that's planted by streams of water, can you? The wicked are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Sinners in the, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. That's a serious end. In one little psalm, we're shown the two paths of life and then their outcomes at the end of the world. It's not one to be taken lightly. So what hope is there for us to avoid destruction? Can we somehow be found on the way of the righteous? Well, I think there's a key here in verse 5 when it talks about the assembly of the righteous, because an assembly suggests that there are many righteous people. Not everyone can be on the path of the wicked if there's an assembly of righteous people. But the next question is, why are there many in the assembly of the righteous, but only one blessed one, as verse 1 tells us? Well, I reckon that the psalm writer has almost hidden in this psalm a picture of a king and his people. See, back in Deuteronomy 17 in the Old Testament, we're told about the kind of life that God wants Israel's king to lead. God tells his people, you're going to go into the promised land, and when you get there, you're going to want a king over you because all the other nations have kings. So in spite of the fact that they had the Lord God providing for them, they're going to want a king because all the other kids in the playground have kings. So God says that the king of the Israelites, like the blessed one in Psalm 1, is to be well acquainted with the law. And Deuteronomy 17, 18 to 20 says, when the king takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that of the priests. It's to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees. Then we hear it spoken again to Joshua before he enters the promised land. In Joshua 1:7, God says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, this is sounding a little like Psalm 1, isn't it? So was Joshua the blessed man? Maybe. But then we hear echoes of this in King David's rule as well, as he praises God in Psalm 19 for the law. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing for the soul. He goes on for half the psalm in this way. It's sweeter than honey. He was a man after God's own heart. He delighted in the law. Was David the blessed one? Sort of. But then we find David on his deathbed in 1 Kings chapter 2 telling Solomon to be strong, keep the law so that you may prosper. In other words, be the man of Psalm 1. But the problem was that none of Israel's kings actually kept the law. And eventually the kings showed so little regard for the law that it was lost. And it wasn't until Josiah in 2 Kings 22 finds the book of the law in the temple, hidden away somewhere. And he hears it read from his secretary. And he tears his clothes because he realizes the law has been neglected. Not only that he's a king, and the king was meant to be reading this every day of his life, meditating on it. So all of that's to say that no one was keeping the law. No one was the blessed one. That is not until King Jesus was born. Jesus, who found himself astonishing the teachers of the law as a boy in the temple courts. Jesus, who stayed connected to his Father and withdrew to pray night and day. Jesus, who said, "Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Jesus, the righteous one, who died for the unrighteous to bring us to God. Jesus, the King, is the blessed one of Psalm 1. And if he's your King, you can count yourself in the assembly of the righteous. Because of Jesus, you will stand in the judgment rather than fall, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. Because of Jesus, you can stay connected to God and share the blessing that comes as you delight in his word. So what path are you going to walk in 2019? What can you do to make sure you stay connected with God? Before you get all the self-help advice for New Year's resolutions, here are five things you could try in 2019. And you might like to write them down, probably only choose one or two. One, have the Bible open at dinner. How's this for an idea? Have the Bible on the table, open, and leave it there. Don't sweep it off with all the other junk. Why not have it there open, strike up a chat about it over dinner, over breakfast, whatever it is. Two, set reminders on your Google Calendar to pray. Now, this one's been a bit hit and miss for me. I kind of tried to do it in the last year, and sometimes I get the notifications. I'm like, oh, I'm kind of busy, swipe. But other times you go, oh, that's actually a helpful reminder. You know what, I can spare 5 minutes of my day actually to talk to God. And so sometimes I'll get it and I'll go, oh, that's good. I'm glad that I've set that reminder. Even though I might not feel like it now, I can actually pray to God, and that's good. Three, if you're a walker, why not listen to a Bible talk while you walk? Usually only 30 minutes long, but really helpful for delighting in God's word. Four, ask people what they've been reading in the Bible. Chat about that, what you read this morning. Or any other books. What have you been reading? Or five, tell someone what you've been reading in the Bible or other books. Say, oh yeah, I was reading this morning in Psalm 1, says this, blah, blah, blah. What do you think of that? There you go. Five things you can do to stay connected with God and each other and to have a blessed new year, delighting in his word. How about we pray? Father, we praise you for King Jesus. Thanks that though we'd walked the way of the wicked so far, you allow us to sit in the assembly of the righteous alongside Jesus, dressed in his righteousness. Help us to not grow weary or hard in our hearts when it comes to reading your word, but to send our roots deep into it. Help us to delight in it and to live lives that bear its fruit. When circumstances come, Father, help us to, when our circumstances change, help us to be delighted in your word and unaffected by that. Father, thanks for your word, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.